an 0-1 pitch. Hernandez. Looks like the left center field. It is pulled in by Meadows. Here comes Santana. The Red Sox have the championship series.
Boston Red Sox knock off the Tampa Bay Rays, who had the best record in American League, 100 wins. Rays won game one, looked like they were maybe going to cruise. Red Sox blew them out in game two and then caught a huge break in game three in extra innings and won in 13. And yes, they blew a 5-0 lead. Rays come back and tie it, but the Rays use up their best relievers to get back into it, which that's what you got to do. You can't worry about saving your best till the end like Buck Showalter. And so the Red Sox get the walk-off sacrifice fly in the bottom of the ninth in Boston to win. Red Sox move on to the ALCS, and they will take on either the White Sox or the Astros. Their game yesterday was postponed due to rain. They're going to play a doubleheader today. I'm kidding. They don't play doubleheaders in playoffs at all. On the National League side of things, the Braves, with one swing of the bat, took a 2-1 lead in their series.
To right field. Garcia going back, looking up. It is gone! A blast! Pinch hit! Three-run home run for Jock Peterson, and the Atlanta Braves are on top 3-0.
And the Braves win the ballgame 3-0. They're up 2-1 over the Brewers in that best of five. And then late last night, it was a pitcher's duel, and the Giants come away with a 1-0 victory.
Fly ball left field, hit pretty well. Back on it is Pollock. This ball's carrying, and this ball is gone! Evan Longoria puts the Giants on top.
And that would stand. 1-0 was the final. Giants over the Dodgers. So here is the schedule for today. Game four between Astros and White Sox at 107 on FS1 today. Astros lead 2-1. White Sox will try to force a deciding game five, which would be a quick travel after the game tonight and then play tomorrow evening for a game five if necessary. The Brewers will try to keep their season alive. They'll be in Atlanta for game four. That's at 4:15 tonight on TBS. And the Giants at the Dodgers. Dodgers trying to keep their season alive. 106 wins on the year, and the Dodgers are one loss away from being eliminated in the divisional series, which isn't, you know, it's not fair, but it is what it is. Giants and the Dodgers game four tonight in L.A., 8:07 on TBS. There was some Monday Night Football last night, and the Ravens might be the luckiest team in the National Football League. After all their bad luck with all the injuries day after day in training camp with running backs and wide receivers, all of a sudden, everything is falling the Ravens' way. Last night, the Ravens were down 25-9 in the fourth quarter against the Colts at home. Looked like they were dead in the water. Come back with two touchdowns, two two-point conversions to tie it. The Colts were up 25-17 about 4 minutes ago, and a field goal to probably ice it was blocked by the Ravens. Then the Colts had a chance to win the game with a field goal at the end of regulation. That 49-yarder was wide to the left, and kickers just need to all be fired, because it was a bad weekend for kickers, that's for sure. And then the Ravens, of course, they get the coin flip in their favor, and then they do the rest.
Second and goal, second in the game. There it is, caught, touchdown, Marquise Brown, and this game is over. It belongs to the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens should have lost to the Chiefs. They lost an overtime start to against the Raiders. They should have lost to the Chiefs, should have lost to the Lions. And they should have lost last night, but they found ways to win, and that's what good teams do. They find a way to somehow win when the odds are against them. And Colts are a team that they're decent, but they found a way to lose last night. The Colts should have won. Ravens should have lost. Instead, the Ravens win. Lamar Jackson, what a night for him. Did anybody want to still argue with me about how this is an offensive league? When Lamar Jackson throws 37 of 42 for 442 yards and three touchdowns and runs for 62 yards and has 504 yards of offense just on his own, and the Baltimore Ravens of all teams go pass happy last night and score 22 points in the final 21 minutes, you're going to tell me there's somebody in this league plays defense? If Lamar Jackson's throwing for 440 yards, who can't? Davis Mills threw for over 300 yards as a rookie quarterback against the Patriots the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about offense, people. It's all about offense and defense. If you can hold a team to 21 points or less, you're doing something. You're doing something extraordinary in today's age when it comes to NFL football. But the Ravens win. They're now 4-1 and have to be considered right there with the Browns and the Chargers. Of course, the Browns have like two losses, but you got to think of the Bills, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Browns right there at the top of the AFC. And until the Chiefs get things figured out, I don't think you can put the Chiefs there right now.
Absolutely not. You can't put the Chiefs there right now. The way they're playing currently.
Right. Exactly. Let's hand it to you for local sports. And then John Gruden resigns and released the Kraken and how the Chiefs defense is affecting Mahomes and the offense.
Yeah, we have local sports information going on today. The schedule, Beloit is hosting Ellis and volleyball coming up here this afternoon and evening. They'll have a JV best of five starting at 4:30 to start the action there at Beloit High. And then they'll have a best of five with the varsity starting around 5:45. You can find and watch both matches on the online video stream at the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com here this evening. Also, the Thunder Ridge Triangular, St. John's, Tipton, and Tescott, also part of that. Lakeside, Sylvan, Lucas, Natoma, the Southern Cloud Quad, and Miltonvale. Also, Rock Hills and Chase, Osborne Triangular. Lincoln hosting a Triangular with Pike Valley and Wilson. And Smith Center is at home in a Triangular with Great Bend and Phillipsburg coming up here this evening. And in the NCKL, it's Abilene at Concordia. So let's look at what's going on as far as today's local sports are concerned. You can always check out ncksports.com. For the latest in local sports, schedules, scores, all the info you need here in North Central Kansas. Also, congratulations to Beloit native Concordia University linebacker Kadrin Cox. He was this week's Great Plains Athletic Conference Hoff Mid-America Sports Defensive Player of the Week. Cox notched two sacks, recovered a fumble as part of a 24-17 win for Concordia University at Jamestown this past Saturday. The fumble recovery led to a Concordia touchdown there for them. Cox leads the Bulldogs this season with 6.5 sacks. Again, the Beloit native Kadrin Cox, the linebacker there at Concordia University, the GPAC Defensive Player of the Week. They're playing college football up in Nebraska. Kadrin Cox of Beloit, so congratulations to him. And again, as we said, all the latest and local sports information, visit ncksports.com.
All right. Man, I tell you, this escalated quickly, didn't it? John Gruden resigning as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders following recent articles in the Wall Street Journal and New York Times detailing the use of racist, homophobic, and misogynistic. I can't say the word.
Misogynistic.
Thank you. Yeah. Misogynistic.
So, yeah, which one you're looking
like
at?
How do you possibly get that out of that word spelled that way? Misogynistic. Why don't they put the word massage in there? But anyway, misogynistic terms by John Gruden in emails reportedly dating back to 2010. He resigned as Las Vegas Raiders head coach. Yesterday, he was five games in the fourth season of a 10-year contract with the franchise. In a statement, Gruden said, "I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone." Special teams coordinator Rick Bisaccia has been named the Raiders' interim head coach. The resignation of Gruden, age 58, comes 3 days removed from a report from the Wall Street Journal that detailed a 2011 email in which he used a racial trope to describe NFL Players Association executive director Demaryius Smith, who is black. And less than 2 hours after release of a New York Times article on Monday night that revealed Gruden used other terms degrading other people in emails as well, dating back to 2010. Now, you may wonder why now and how this has happened. There's an investigation into the Washington football team for improper handling of things, internal matters, and they discovered these emails that he sent to president of the Washington football team, Bruce Allen, which I don't know why Gruden's in these things to the Washington football team. He was the analyst for ESPN on Monday Night Football at the time of some of these emails. So he's an employee of ESPN when he did some of this. Now, you could sit here and say, well, ESPN, how did they not know? Well, if they're personal emails, I don't think they would probably know that. And the other thing, too, is this whole investigation wasn't about trying to find John Gruden in his emails. They discovered all this with all the emails that he went through over a span of about 7-8 years. And these types of things he said spanned over 2010 to 2018. So it's not like something that was isolated. When I first heard it, the initial report of one email, I'm like, okay, are we gonna hold something against the guy 10 years after the fact when it was one email?
Yeah.
And I kind of was like, well, you know, he might have been just joking, and yeah, it might have been in horrible taste, but I don't think that's enough to get the guy fired. Well, then all of a sudden the other emails come out, yeah. And then you start seeing. And here's the thing. He called the commissioner a homophobic slur. He said that then Rams head coach Jeff Fisher shouldn't be pressured into hiring queers. That was his word, not mine. And Michael Sam was the first openly gay player to want to be in the NFL and was drafted and in the NFL. And what's really interesting, and here's another reason why the Raiders, I think, had no choice. And granted, Gruden resigned, but the Raiders, I think, would have had to have fired him anyway. And that is, he has an openly gay player on his football team. Mm-hmm. Carl Nassib, a defensive lineman who's had a really good year. There is no way John Gruden could still be the head coach of the Raiders when you know there's an openly gay player on the team and he has all this, well, I don't know if you want to call it hatred or vile or just that's a masculinity thing. And people say this happens in NFL all the time. That type of talk happens all the time, which I believe that. No question about it. I believe it. I think it happens in college football. I think it even happens in high school football in some cases, to be quite frank with you. And it's unfortunate, and it's not necessary, but it's some people say, oh, that's locker room talk, or that's guys being guys. And, well, times have changed. But John Gruden was 4 years in the most lucrative coaching contract in NFL history. He signed in 2018 a 10-year, $100 million contract. And where did they get the Raiders? He finished with a record of 22-31 in his second stint with the Raiders. Overall, he went 60-57 in 7-plus seasons as the Raiders coach, made the playoffs in 2000-2001. Of course, he went to the Buccaneers and then won a Super Bowl as head coach there. So John Gruden is out head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders just like that. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's the same kind of what you're saying. I mean, I initially had the same feeling, right? Like, how are you going to get rid of this guy for one thing that was in an email 10 years ago, whatever it was? But now, yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. I mean, there's too many distractions this day and age. Yeah. If you let that go and he can stick around, and obviously it's an easy way for him to, hey, I resign, you know, step down type of deal. We see it all the time. So I don't have any issues with it. You know, it's the society and the world we live in today. Those things are clearly not accepted like they maybe were at some point in John Gruden's life, which is a sad commentary on where maybe we were way back, right?
Right.
That they were accepted, but they're not now. And, you know, that's where we're at right now. I have no issues with it at all.
Yeah, no issues with him resigning and no longer being the coach. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
You're not
talking exactly
about
what
he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people
don't have a lot of issues with what he said.
Yes,
yeah.
I would hope so.
But his, the way it all ended,
yeah,
not any issue at all.
So he is out as head coach of the Raiders. Now, how do the Raiders handle that? They're off to a good start. Now they lost two in a row. And I think the Raiders are going to go south here, it looks like, after
how
a really impressive start.
Like, I just, yeah.
Not something you plan for, that's for
no.
Sure. Okay, on a much more positive note, I am sporting my Seattle Kraken t-shirt today because today we officially release the Kraken. The Seattle Kraken will make history when they play their first regular season hockey game tonight, 9 o'clock. Dusty, I'm not coming in tomorrow morning because I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to party after the Kraken beat the Las Vegas Knights in their first ever hockey game. That's right. It's tonight in Las Vegas. I really wish I was rich. I could get Highland's private plane, fly down there, and watch the game in person. But unfortunately, I won't be able to do that because he's already using his plane or planes. So Vegas Golden Knights hosting the Kraken, release the Kraken. What's interesting about this hockey game tonight, besides it's my favorite team, the Seattle Kraken, and I love this shirt, and I love the color scheme and everything else and the serpent that they have on it, is that Las Vegas was the most recent franchise to be put into the league, okay, expansion franchise, and all they did the first year is make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. So don't tell me it's impossible for the Kraken to be good this year, all right? And here's the other thing. Las Vegas isn't going to take them lightly because they, just a few years ago, knew what it was like to have that first ever game for a brand new franchise. There is a bit of a Debbie Downer moment here, is that there are 5 players for the Kraken who are in COVID-19 protocol, so they might be shorthanded. So anyway, the Kraken tonight, I'm not going to let, you know, if I want to be a fair weather fan, if they lose tonight, I would just go ahead and burn my shirts I got of the Kraken. I mean, maybe I'm one of those Chiefs fans, you know, where I just jump off the wagon after 3 years of unbelievable success. I saw a friend of mine out Western Kansas post that the Chiefs are done 2-3, and they needs to learn how to spend more money on defense than offense. And I'm like, you do know the Chiefs spent more money on defense than offense. You are you aware of that? Like, in the salary cap, you've got the 5 of the top 7 guys against the cap are defensive players. No, you don't throw money at a problem and just hope it works. That's not how it works, man. Okay? It's simple. The Chiefs need to draft better. That's the problem. It's not about throwing money at the defense. I mean, what do you want to do? Throw another $80 million at Tyrann Mathieu? You threw $80 million at Chris Jones, $100 million at Frank Clark? Hello? And he's saying that the team is done, and now people that were, you know, ripping him back going, what kind of fan are you? And he was backpedaling. I'm like, you do sound like a Fairweather fan. Mm. You can sit here and say you cheered for 30 years. You're telling me the Chiefs are done after 5 weeks? They're 2-3, and they won't make the playoffs? And he'll be right back on there. He's a friend of mine, by the way. He'll get right back on there towards the end of the season. He'll be all excited about the Chiefs making the playoffs. I guarantee it. So you don't write people off after 5 weeks, for crying out loud. I mean, the Chiefs, what was that? They were 1-5. Jamal Charles was hurt. And all they did was win their final 10 games, went 11-5. I mean, I remember then, even me, I was thinking they were done. Yeah. They were 1-5. The Chiefs were toast. Alex Smith was their quarterback, not Patrick Mahomes. You're going to tell me that that team with Alex Smith, the quarterback, that wasn't a great defense, that was 1-5 without Jamal Charles, and by the way, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out for a few weeks with a sprained MCL. You're telling me the Chiefs in 2021 with one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not the best quarterback in the league, they're 2-3. You're telling me they can't recover? I mean, if that team could go 1-5 and then go 11-5, how can this team not turn it around as well? Why can't they? This team's much more talented than that team that went 11-5 and actually won a playoff game against Brian Hoyer, who's horrible, for the Houston Texans. His first playoff win for the Chiefs in many, many years. I mean, 1-5. They were dead, and they came all the way back. So the Steelers last year, 11-0. They fell apart, and they lost their first-round playoff game. So let's not sit here and make a season. Last year, people were saying the Steelers are the best team in the AFC, maybe in the league, and they lost like four of the last five games. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about how the Chiefs are invincible. They lost to the Buccaneers by 22 in the Super Bowl. We heard all about different teams last year that were the cats meow, and then they fell flat on their face. So don't let the national talking heads, who are very lazy and don't do a lot of homework, at least some of them, and now they're all about, oh, this Chiefs defense is atrocious. Like, where the hell you been? They've been horrible all year long. You just now realize that because you finally watch a Chiefs game for the first time all year long in its entirety? I mean, the Chiefs had more problems in their defense on Sunday night. It wasn't just the defense, but that's what the talking heads want to tell you, that the defense is horrible. The defense was horrible, and the Chiefs were still right there, had a chance to beat the Chargers, beat the Ravens with horrible defense. They beat the Eagles with not great defense either, okay? Got a little bit better. They still, I mean, Jalen Hurts had 400 yards passing, for crying out loud, in that game. You're going to sit here and tell me that the Chiefs defense was all of a sudden bad against the Bills? They've been bad all year long, which leads me into my next little comment, and that is, how is the Chiefs defense affecting Patrick Mahomes? Dan Orzovsky, who is a, I think he's a very good analyst on ESPN, and I watch some of his stuff on social media, and he played quarterback, so I give him some credence here. He knows the position. And he said what he sees is that Mahomes realizes how bad his defense is, and he's trying to play hero and score 21 points at a time sometimes. He feels like he's forcing the issue, pressing the issue, doing this and doing that. And I totally agree, and here's why I'll tell you. And I said it before, Dan Orlovsky, a national media guy, on this very show. Remember the Charger game. The Charger game, the Chiefs were tied 24-24. Remember that? Mm-hmm. 24-24, Chiefs got the ball, and you're thinking, okay, they're going to go down, they're going to win the game. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And because they held him to a field goal. They got the ball back, and Mahomes had a third down and 8. He rolled right. And he could have easily thrown it away. Chiefs punt the ball. Chargers would have had about a minute 45 on the clock. And Mahomes acted like it was a fourth down and 8, and he had to throw it down the field and had to take a chance. And I said at the time, and I will stand by this, Mahomes made that pass. If he had a really good defense, I'm not sure he makes that pass. But he knew his defense wasn't going to stop the Chargers anyway. So he was like, this is my best chance. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw one up. I'm going to hope Kelce gets it. Instead, it was overthrown. It was a tough spot to throw. Not a great decision in regards to the pass, although I understand why he made the decision to throw it on 3rd and 8 and take a chance, hope a guy makes a play. He treated it like a 4th and 8. You know why he treated it like a 4th and 8? Because the defense is so bad. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with Dan Orlovsky. That is true. I think he is playing differently at quarterback, knowing his defense is so bad. I think that is very true. I think even against the Ravens, when he made the boneheaded play where he tried to force it to Kelce and DeMarcus Robinson is wide open, I think he's thinking here, I got to make a play as I go down, and I'm going to go to my trusted guy, which is Kelce, because he maybe didn't trust D-Rob on that one. I think Mahomes is pressing. I think he is thinking a little bit too much at times, and I don't blame him, because if I were him, I'd do the same thing. I mean, this defense doesn't do anything, at least not in the first half, typically. Now, the second half, they were improved the other night. But there's no question to me it is affecting Mahomes in the offense's play. I'm not saying it's the defense's fault for Tyreek Hill dropping passes. I'm not going to say it's the defense's fault because Mahomes makes a boneheaded pass against the Ravens. I'm not going to say that's the defense's fault when Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles at the end of a Raven game, all right? I'm not going to say it's their fault when the Chiefs, you know, can't get a snap that was right in the hands of Mahomes. Mahomes needs to take some responsibility, and is, for his mistakes. He isn't playing great football. But I will say this. when the offense sees the defense can't stop anybody for a whole half like they did the other night, the pressure's on the Chiefs to do what? Score every single time. Mm. And I think when you press, you tend to make mistakes. And when you press, you tend to drop a ball like Tyreek Hill. I mean, Mahomes, that pick six was all on Tyreek Hill. I went back and looked at it last night.
Oh, yeah.
Completely right off the hands. Led him perfectly, and that's against Patrick Mahomes. Do you know Patrick Mahomes' numbers are exactly the same through five weeks as they were last year? He's actually got one more touchdown pass. He's got three or four more interceptions, mm-hmm. actually, okay? That, and three of them are tip balls this year that are interceptions. Now, last year, those tip balls fell incomplete. So maybe it's just about a balance and karma and whatever else. But when I look at the Chiefs and I look at Patrick Mahomes, I think there's no question he's pressing because the defense is so bad. And I don't want to say that to give him a cop-out. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying he's struggled because the defense is so bad, and I want to give an excuse to Patrick Mahomes. I just think it's a fact. He is pressing, and he is making some decisions because he knows if I don't try to make a play here or get a first down on third and eight late in the game, we ain't going to win anyway. Our best chance to win is with the ball in our hands, and I agree with him, and that's why I've been preaching and screaming for 3 years for every team, including Andy Reid, that when you got the great offense and a great quarterback, you need to be more aggressive, go for it on fourth down more often, regardless of where you are on the field for the most part, and you need to think about going for more two-point conversions, especially with this league had 11 missed extra points on Sunday and 12 missed field goals. So I think it is affecting Mahomes in the offense because how bad the defense is. That's not giving the offense a pass. It just is a lot of pressure when your defense dig yourself a hole where you can't stop anybody like they could in the first half the other night against Buffalo, and they get seven completions for 220 yards. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, you don't make analysis an excuse, right? Like,
well,
that's what it is.
It is what it is.
I mean, it's you can look and see what this guy's doing, and
easy for me to say.
It's
don't
pretty
press.
Clear. Like, I mean, I can see it too. You know, yeah. It's just like, and this is not the first time in his career he's done that either.
No.
Like, he's been in a situation where his defense isn't helping him, so he's got to make plays, and in his mind, he's got to do that. So now I think maybe he's reverting a little bit back to
Texas Tech days
2018, Texas Tech, you know, some of those
defense,
other years where he didn't have a defense, and he has to do this or this or this to have success as a team, and just not making the right decisions at times.
I agree with you.